Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am so thankful to God and His Word and the revealing of His Word. I've been reading a lot in the Old Testament recently in Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. And God had struggled with His people, trying to bring them to their knees in humility and repentance over and over. He started with His, well, I shouldn't say started, but He... through the prophecies of Isaiah, told them of what was to come if they didn't repent. And then Jeremiah and Lehi and others at that time warned of the destruction of Jerusalem. And then the captivity of the house of Israel, from the king of Babylon, occurred. And Ezekiel was during that time of the captivity. Jerusalem hadn't totally been destroyed, and he prophesied of those events. And he once again commanded that they repent of their sins. And I'm going to read in Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in the first verse, when God gave him the responsibility to speak to His people. And God starts speaking to Ezekiel this way. In Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. So God's showing this. This is really, he's speaking spiritually here. But this is an example that God's saying. That if you set a watchman and the watchman warns and that the sword is coming and they heed not the warning, their blood is on their own heads. But if they heed the warning, then they'll be saved. Verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, and I'm sorry, I'm going to stop there at verse 6. So in this instance, the watchman is there, the sword comes, but he blows not the trumpet. He doesn't give the warning to the people. It says, in this instance, the blood shall be upon him, the watchman. The blood, his blood, will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. He's speaking to Ezekiel here. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. You and I are watchmen. We know the warnings of the word. We know right and wrong. And we know people in this world who don't know. Who don't know right. Well, I shouldn't say don't know right and wrong. They don't know the word like we know it. And God has put us here to warn the people. Warn them from what? Let's go on. Verse 10, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Can we live and be saved in our sins? No. And we're supposed to warn the people that we cannot be saved in our sins. We cannot be saved in our sins. Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? That was the warning to them, but it's a warning to us. And it's a warning to our friends and our neighbors and our family members and our enemies, who God has also told us to love. In 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 1, verse 115. Second book of Nephi, chapter 1, verse 115. It says, Adam fell that men might be. We wouldn't have been had Adam not fallen, and that's a whole nother subject in itself. And men are, God gave us this opportunity that we might have joy. His purpose in creating us is so that we might have joy. God is not some mean Father up on the throne making us live according to rigid commandments. He has given us his commandments, right and wrong, because he knows the road to joy. He knows the road to happiness. And so God is saying here to Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I don't enjoy destroying people. How long did he suffer with Israel? How long has he suffered with our nation as we kill innocent babies in the millions? How long will he continue to suffer, to long suffer, to wait for us, to have mercy upon us? He does not have pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's so patient with us, but there will be an end of that patience. And if we die in our sins, if our brothers and sisters, if our friends, if our family members, if our enemies, if our acquaintances die in their sins, they cannot be saved. We cannot be saved. Verse 12. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteous... Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Whatever you've done in the past, how obedient you've been in the past, in the day of your transgression, when you choose iniquity, you will not be delivered at that point. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. The mercy of God. He's been evil, horrible, awful evil. And yet, if he recognizes, if she recognizes her iniquity and confesses it and repents of it and turns to God and believes in Christ and keeps his commandments, if they become righteous at that point, the goodness and mercy of our God is sufficient for them. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. Verse 13, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and committeth iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. God is making his word plain to the house of Israel. Obey me and live. Disobey me and die. And obey me and be saved, disobey me and die spiritually. This is real interesting. In verse 13, it says, if he trust in his own righteousness. At first glance and first reading through that, I think, oh, that's a self-righteous person. But as I look into it, this... And we'll read, I think there's a definition of righteousness later in this, in one of the next few verses that gives me clarity to his own righteousness. So let me read on and then come back to that. Verse 14, Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. To me, that is defining that word, righteousness. Do that which is lawful and right. And how you and I know that we cannot do what's lawful and right without that gift of the Holy Ghost that's been given us. We cannot. And so praise be to God for that gift. That's not spoken of here, but that's something we have knowledge of. As children of Christ, we have knowledge that we've been given that gift. It's that gift that the people on this land, when they learned from Christ himself, they desired so much that they knelt down and prayed for that gift of the Holy Ghost. Because without that gift, how can we do what's lawful and right? And so, going back to this verse 13 where it says, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness. I think of, well, yes, once of all, thinking I can do it on my own without that gift of the Holy Ghost, but also creating and setting my own laws, my own rules to live by, living in my own righteousness. God has given us his word. It's plain, it's true, it's firm, it's everlasting, it's good. And when we live according to his words and his commandments, when we live lawful and right, we'll be saved. And we can only do that through Christ. We can only do that through that gift that's been given us because of him. That gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 15. If the wicked restore the pledge, if they've made promises they haven't kept, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which he hath robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet the children, and I want to stop there a second. How good is God that in his mercy, because that is mercy. That is mercy. When he's commanded us to do something and we've disobeyed and we've done that which is not right, that which is evil, for him to say those sins are forgotten. He didn't say that here, but that's what I'm, when I read, none of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him, they won't be remembered. What a merciful God. And a God that gives us hope because we have sinned. And yet, if we're willing to repent, to turn from those sins, and to be obedient to him, he is willing to mention them no more. Verse 17. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. The way of the Lord, the way, it says that the children of thy people, the people of Israel here at this time, but the devil tempts us into thinking that God's not fair. That what we're going through, other people don't go through. I should be excused in my sin. I just have to be this way. I can't live any other way. It's not fair. God's ways are always right, equal. And He gives us the strength, the ability to resist temptation, to live righteously, to be obedient, to love and to serve. Verse 18, when the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal, not fair. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. And we have confirmation of that in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, verses 11 through 13. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. We will be judged according to our works. And especially according to the knowledge which we have. And we have so much knowledge. You and I have so much knowledge. And we've been gifted with so much. We've been gifted with His Word, with the Holy Ghost. We've been gifted with the Son of God who willingly, even though in the garden he said that this cup pass me by, he said, thy will be done, speaking to the Father. He willingly gave up this temporal life for you and I. And was abused, beaten, bruised, crucified for us. There was this man, Alma, who sacrificed also for his people, just like Ezekiel did, just like Isaiah, just like Jeremiah, suffered. These prophets suffered for their people, that their people might be warned of the truth of God. And Alma did the same. Alma knew that in his time there were people who were disobedient, who had gone according to the precepts of men, had started preaching up unto themselves their own righteousness, their own right and wrong. And he spoke to the people of I think of Zarahemla and then to Ammonihah. And when he came to the city of Ammonihah, I think is how it's pronounced. It's in Alma. And I think I'm going to read some in chapter 7, but, well, I may read some in chapter 6. He came to Ammonihah, and basically they rejected his word. It says in verse 9, and it came to pass that Alma had come to the city of Ammonihah. This is Alma chapter 6, verse 9. And it came to pass that when Alma had come to the city of Ammonihah, he began to preach the word of God unto them. Now Satan had gotten great hold upon the hearts of the people of the city of Ammonihah. Therefore, they would not hearken unto the words of Alma. Nevertheless, Alma labored much in spirit, wrestling with God in mighty prayer that he would pour out his spirit upon the people which were in the city, that he would also grant that he might baptize them into repentance. They had rejected him, and it says in verse 10 that Satan had gotten hold on their hearts. Verse 12, so they had rejected what he said, but he still in mighty prayer prayed that he might have the opportunity to baptize them unto repentance. And yet in verse 12 it says, nevertheless they hardened their hearts, saying unto him, behold, we know that thou art Alma, and we know that thou art high priest over the church, which thou hast established in many parts of the land according to your tradition. In other words, they weren't accepting the righteousness of God. They didn't believe the word of God in its truth and its perfectness, but they attributed it to the traditions of the people of Alma. And they had hard hearts. I think we're in a day like this of similar people. But I'd like us to see how Alma responds to this. We are not of thy church, and we do not believe in such foolish traditions. And now we know that because we are not of thy church, we know that thou hast no power over us, and thou hast delivered up the judgment seat unto Nephihah. Therefore, thou art not the chief judge over us. You can't come against us because you're no longer the chief judge. So in other words, get out of town. Verse 16, now when the people had said this and had withstood all his words and reviled him and spit upon him and caused that he should be cast out of their city, that's violence. This isn't just say, shoo, shoo. There was violence going on there, I'm pretty sure of it. Caused that he should be cast out of their city, he departed thence and took his journey toward the city which was called Aaron. And it came to pass that while he was journeying thither, being weighed down with sorrow, he didn't just brush the dust off his shoes and go on. He was weighed down with sorrow, wading through much tribulation and anguish of soul because of the wickedness of the people which were in the city of Ammonihah. And it came to pass that while Alma was being weighed down with sorrow, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him, saying, blessed art thou, Alma. Therefore lift up thy head and rejoice, for thou hast cause to rejoice, for thou hast been faithful in keeping the commandments of God, from the time which thou hast received thy first message from him. Behold, I am he that delivered it unto you, and behold, I am sent to command thee that thou return to the city of Ammonihah and preach again unto the people of the city, yea, preach unto them, yea, say unto them, except they repent, the Lord God will destroy them. For behold, they do study at this time that they may destroy the liberty of thy people. For thus saith the Lord, which is contrary to the statutes and judgments and commandments which he has given unto his people. So, Alma had a love for this people that he cried out. He was sorrowful for them because of their wickedness. And I think about us in our time. And you know, the Word of God says to love our enemies. And Alma did that. They had just cast him out of their city. And he was making a sacrifice to even go there in the first place. And yet he continued in a love for them, that he was sorrowful for their souls. And God heard his prayer that he had prayed before, that they would, that he might be able to baptize them unto repentance. And God heard his prayer. Why? Because he was obedient to the commandments of God, it says. That righteous living, that repenting of all of our sins and living right. I can't remember how it said it. Living, I'm going to go back there so I don't say it wrong. Ezekiel, and you don't have to turn unless you want to. Doing that which is lawful and right. And that's what he did. He kept the commandments of God, and God heard his prayers. He cried out for this wicked people, and God heard his prayers. And so then God sends an angel to him. God sends an angel to Amulek. Alma goes fasting and praying to know what he should say to them this next time. You know, they've already cast him out of the city. And he's fasting and praying. And God sends an angel to Amulek. I'll read about that. In chapter 7, chapter 8, says in verse chapter 8 of Alma, in verse 9, Amulek is telling the story of how he had known about the things of God somewhat, but he had hardened his heart against him. And it says in verse 9, it said, "Therefore I went on rebelling against God in the wickedness of my heart, even until the fourth day of the seventh month, which is in the 10th year of the reign of our judges. As I was journeying to see a very near kindred, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto me and said, Amulek, return to thine own house, for thou shalt feed a prophet of the Lord, yea, a holy man, Alma." That's my word, but that's who it was. "Which art a chosen man of God, for he hath fasted many days because of the sins of this people, and he is an hungered, and thou shalt receive him into thine house and feed him, and he shall bless thee and thy house, and the blessing of the Lord shall rest upon thee and thy house." And so that's what happened with after Alma went fasting and praying what he should say to the people. And when he went to the people in chapter 7, it talks about it, that he once again warned them not to die in their sins, but to repent. And they wanted to once again kick him out. And so Amulek here, what we just read, stood up to give witness. They said, you get, just like as they did in the time of Christ, and they said the same thing to Christ, you witness of yourself. What witness have you? Of course, Christ's answer was that he had the Father as a witness. Here, Amulek stood up as a witness to Alma that what he said was true, and gave this experience that he had with the angel. And so as he spoke, to witness to the people that they must not die in their sins, lawyers stood up and began to try to catch him in his word. And one of those lawyers was Zizrim. And he was the chief among them to accuse him. He was the accuser. And he tried to trip him up in his words. And so I'm going to jump to verse 79. "And Zizrim saith unto him, Thou sayest that there is a true and living God. And Amulek saith, Yea, there is a true and living God. And now Zizrim saith, Is there more than one God? And he answereth, No. And Zizrim saith unto him again, How knowest thou these things? And he saith, An angel hath made them known unto me. And Zizrim saith again, Who is he that shall come? Is it the Son of God? And he saith unto him, Yea. And Zizrim saith again, Shall he save his people in their sins? And Amulek answereth and saith unto him, I say unto you, he shall not, for it is impossible for him to deny his word. And Zizrim saith unto the people, See that ye remember these things." And he's trying to catch Amulek here in a conflict of words. And he says, "See that ye remember these things, for he saith that there is but one God, yet he saith that the Son of God shall come, but he shall not save his people, as though he had authority to command God. Now Amulek saith unto him, Behold, thou hast lied. For thou sayest, I spake as though I had authority to command God, because I said, He shall not save his people in their sins. I say unto you that he cannot save them in their sins, for I cannot deny his word. He hath said that no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, how can ye be saved except ye inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, ye cannot be saved in your sins. And Zizrim saith again unto him, Is the Son of God the very eternal Father? And Amulek saith unto him, Yea, he is the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth, and all things which in them is. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and he shall come in the world, into the world to redeem his people, and he shall take upon him the transgression of those who believe on his name. And these are they. These are they that shall inherit eternal life, and salvation cometh to none else. Therefore the wicked remain in, as though there had been no redemption made, except it be the loosing of the bands of death. And the loosing of the bands of death is when we will all be raised to be judged of our works. And we will all be raised. But those that remain in their wickedness remain as if there had been no redemption made. In other words, they shall not inherit that eternal life of joy with Christ. For behold, the day cometh that they all shall rise from the dead and stand before God and be judged according to their works. Now there is a death which is called a temporal death, and a death of Christ which shall loose the bands of this temporal death, that all shall be raised from this temporal death. The spirit and the body shall be reunited in its perfect form. Both limb and joint shall be restored to its proper frame, even as we now are at this time. And we shall be brought to stand before God, knowing even as we are known, and have a bright recollection of all our guilt. And this restoration shall come to all, both old and young, both bond and free, both male and female, both the wicked and the righteous. And even there shall not so much be as a hair of their heads be lost, but all things shall be restored to its perfect frame as it is now, or in the body, and shall be brought and be arraigned from the bar of Christ the Son, and God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, which is one eternal God, to be judged according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Amulek spoke these things, and Zizrim was pricked in his heart, and he later asked Alma to explain more. And in at chapter 9 and verse 28, Alma explains, And now behold, I say unto you, then cometh a death, even a second death, which is a spiritual death. Then is a time that whosoever dieth in his sins, as to the temporal death, shall also die a spiritual death. Yea, he shall die as to things pertaining unto righteousness. Then is the time when their torments shall be as a lake of fire and brimstone. Those flames ascendeth up forever and ever. And then is the time that they shall be chained down to an everlasting destruction, according to the power and captivity of Satan, he having subjected them according to his will. Then I say unto you, they shall be as though there was no redemption made, for they cannot be redeemed according to God's justice, and they cannot die, seeing there is no corruption. Now it came to pass that when Alma had made an end of speaking these words, the people began to be more astonished. But there was one Antiona, who was a chief ruler among them, came forth and said unto them, What is this that thou hast said? And I'm going to stop there. Alma and Amulek both warned this people of Ammonihah. They warned them. And this Zizrim, who was the chief among the accusers, who was in wickedness. He repented and he became a servant of God. You and I are watchmen in this land. We are servants of the Lord. And we have been gifted so much knowledge, so much forgiveness. And we have this opportunity, if we are obedient to God's commandments, to pray, have our prayers answered, and to be a witness to this generation. God has use of people who will repent of their sins, their wickedness, and turn to him, as he was able to use Zizran in mighty power. As he was able to use Paul, as he was able to use Alma, the son of Alma. But you and I, who know the truth, who have it in these two books, have to give it. We have to share it. We have to warn the people. We have to be the watchmen who sound the trumpet. You cannot be saved in your sins. You cannot die in your sins and be saved. And the people of this land need to know it. May God bless us that we sound the trumpet.